This is Mae Brussel, and in case you didn't get the first part of this program, you picked it up in the middle. This is a one-hour broadcast, a weekly broadcast. It's program number 670, May the 6th, 1985, and it is a continuous unfolding of the links of our country to Germany, starting in 1943, January to March 1943, when the Soviet Union defeated the German army. They retrenched, came back to Switzerland, brought Alan Dulles to burn Switzerland with the bankers that he was dealing with through the entire war. It had started before then and was going to wind down, and how as early as May 8th, 1945, they were ready to rebuild the German cartel, munition cartels. Now, I've detailed all of those facts for the past years. I've been on this theme a long time, and now it's finally coming to a head. I'm going to detail for weeks to come the symptoms of the domestic events, how they're going to unfold. War has been declared, and it's been declared at a domestic level as well as a international level at this point. The Aryan Nations did say that May the 1st, that this country would change, would be turned around. The Aryan Nations, otherwise known as the Order or the Brotherhood, they have a lot of names, and the Survivalists and the Posse Comitatus, with headquarters in Texas and Alabama and New Orleans, Idaho, Oregon, California, said that things would happen and change. That was May the 1st. On May the 5th, the president was at the cemetery with those visual gravestones of the Waffen-SS. I also might say that last week, a gentleman wrote a letter to the editor in the Los Angeles Times stating that he didn't like Reagan's remarks about the Holocaust and the soldiers that died in the war, the German soldiers, comparing the two victims. He called Ronald Reagan a liar. I don't have the context of the letter, but he referred to him as a liar. Now, the Los Angeles Times could have turned that down and said, we don't use vulgar language. As I say, I haven't seen it, and I still think they might have refused to print it. But what happened was the person who wrote it got a letter in the mail saying that he would be dead in 30 days. I also have stories, personal stories, to tell you about what happened to me in Los Angeles this last week. Indications, again, that the war has begun. They are personal things that happened to me, four of them, and I'll share those next week. But I don't want to divert from the attention here. And we can chronicle from this moment on the changes that are going to happen in this country. But getting back to the B'nai B'rith and the Anti-Defamation League, I had tried to contact them from the time that I did my research into John Kennedy as of 1964, when I got my Warren Commission hearings, and September 64, and recognized that Oswald's contacts were with military, with the intelligence community, and with Nazis, or former Nazi suspects, and related to the oil industries and munitions industries. And I called a Dr. Max Bay. He was head of the Anti-Defamation League in Los Angeles, a practicing doctor, and talked about the Nazis. He called a friend in town who was very prominent and said, she's off her hat. She's crazy. This woman is out of her mind. And the Anti-Defamation League, as early as 19, 20 years ago, would not touch the story of Nazis. I made endless contacts with the Wiesenthal Center that I've shared with you, and they would not touch Mengele, Bormann, or any part of the Nazi connections, none at all, to the murder of John Kennedy or the Skorzeny network that ends up in Dallas, Texas, or coming from Munich, Germany, not at all. Maxwell Greenberg, he's an attorney from Harvard, has represented the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, in Los Angeles. He was a personal friend of mine, he and his wife Marcy. I had called him several times through the years, many times. He literally shut me up. They weren't interested in Nazis. You can go to hell. As far as they were concerned, I was a pariah. I was a disease. The ADL was behaving in that way. I contacted other people in the Jewish community, and they have continuously had a wall of silence on anything leading to where we are today. So isn't it ironic, and I'll detail more for you, isn't it ironic that a person from the Anti-Defamation League would be going with Fritz Kramer, if this is true, and they're going to have to prove us wrong because this is being passed on to a lot of people. What if it is true? And I believe, and I truly do believe, nothing is impossible at this point, but if the ADL were there, the perfect triumvirate, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League with Fritz Kramer and the Courier from the Associated Press, traveling together 3 weeks before the President of the United States is to go to Bitburg, and 2 weeks before I'm writing a letter to the President with a photograph of Fritz Kramer. Imagine the irony that I'm sending out letters to 70 or 100 people. I just got addressing envelopes. I have the list I checked off, but I have to do 100 more this week. Imagine me sending out pictures of the two Kramers, and he's already been, if it was the same one, to Zurich and back, same age, and I sent a picture of these two men to the person who saw them leave the airport to check out the picture. But I feel very comfortable sharing it with you because I know the same age and the same characters that I have detailed. And, of course, the B'nai B'rith Messenger newspaper in Los Angeles and the Wiesenthal Center are always touting articles by Michael Ledeen, photographs and speeches by Arnaud de Borchgrave, the agent for the Reverend Moon newspaper now. And Reverend Moon was brought to this country by Fritz Kramer's son, Sven Kramer, and Alexander Haig, a great person loved by the Jews in Los Angeles, and Jean Kirkpatrick. And, of course, Elaine Van Damme goes to Israel with these various people, and her name is in the paper. She's entertained by them. Last week, I briefly mentioned that Franz Josef Strauss, the Bavarian minister, a person involved with Vernon Walters, and George Bush with Death Squad, specifically Dina from Chile, and the killing of Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt in Washington, D.C. Isn't it ironic that a man should be a courier to over there to Joseph Mengele, or the possibility that he could be, and that George Bush worked with these people as vice president and works with them as vice, as the was in charge of them as CIA director, and worked with Dina, worked with the Nazis at Colonia Dignidad, the death squads that rove around the world. Now, if this is going to be similar to Watergate, Ronald Reagan has to know the role of George Bush with these people and get Bush out just as Nixon got out Agnew. He knew he was going to come down and he was going to get that little pipsqueak before he fell. He wasn't going to let Agnew be heir apparent. So out went Agnew on the thinnest excuse because they blackmail each other. But Agnew had to go. In this case, if Kramer was the identical Kramer that I've been talking about all these years and warning about with the meeting at Bitburg, if that's the Kramer, then, of course, George Bush, as CIA director, was part of this whole game, and he should be removed as a part of the Claus Barbie, Mengele, Kramer connection before Ronald Reagan gets slides out of his particular office. And if that sounds strange to you, remember that I said in June 82, even though Nixon was reelected in November, that this would really remove the President of the United States and the whole group. And we'll have to think somewhere along those lines. It didn't come out in blazing headlines, remember. It took a long time to unfold. I don't think this will take that long because there's a lot of anger here. There was no anger at Richard Nixon at the time of Watergate in June 82. The anti-war people, the counterculture, the hippies, there was anger. But for the most part, the people weren't as angry as the national, international community are when his own advisors, his own priest or pastor, when a representative of the Vatican and the churches around him are telling him not to go for implications that they see, and he goes, and they feel hurt and angry, and he rejects their request. There's that different kind of anger. Now, there was a story in the San Francisco Chronicle this week. Canada orders a deportation in Nazi host case. And this has to do with Ernest Zundel. You may have been reading the article, Z-U-N-D-E-L, 46, who's lived in Canada since 1958. He never had a citizenship. He's from West Germany. He's a publisher and writer. He's a native of Black Forest area of Germany. And he was convicted February the 28th of spreading false news by publishing a booklet called Did 6 Million Really Die? And his occupation is to send to Germany and send down to that same group down in Torrance, California, Willie Cardo's group. They work hand in glove the information that there was no Holocaust. And several people sued him in Canada, and Canada's asked him to leave. Now, in a way, I'm sort of sorry that the old guy goes because his books are very valuable. I get his books, as many as I can afford, not too many. He was the first one writing about the UFOs, the Nazi secret weapon, and he advertises things for the Waffen-SS and tape recordings and books. But in there, he was the one that clued in with a copy of the Time magazine article, May the 8th, 1945, that Hitler was alive and had escaped. And he clues you into things that you can look for, because it's sort of like Nazis talking to each other. It's like reading a magazine sent out by beauticians on how to set hair. They're all talking to each other, and they're turning each other on, and if you read it, you know what they're thinking or doing or where they're going if they take him away. In a way, it's a little minor tragedy, but not really. But getting back to the Willie Cardo connections, I also heard this week from another researcher, and this fits in to that Institute of Historical Review, the Colonel McCrary, M-C, small c, then a capital C, C-R-E-A-R-Y, deputy director of the CIA, was in charge of Willie Cardo's office in Georgia, the Georgia headquarters. Of course, Ted Turner is from Georgia. He's the one that wants to buy up the news, the CBS. And I'll do more on that. I don't want to divert too far, but there's a lot of activity right out of Georgia, the home of the late Larry McDonald and Mitchell Werbel, and the instigation and the preparation for the triple murders of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King that I detailed in the article on the Korean Airline and Larry McDonald. Now, Colonel McCrary was on the board, or is still on the board, was at one time, I'll say was or is, of Lyndon LaRoche's Schiller Institute. And I mentioned before, the other person besides Mark Lane, who's been so much problem, is Bernard Fensterwald from the Committee to Investigate Assassinations. And I understand that Bernard Fensterwald is currently or considering being the attorney for Lyndon LaRoche involving a Boston case. LaRoche is pro-Nazi. He's pro-Mitchell Werbel and anti-Soviet. He's made a switch a few years ago, an interesting switch. But McCrary was linked or is linked to Willie Cardo and the Institute. And now Bernard Fensterwald is supposed to be representing LaRoche on some institutes. The Schiller Institute is his institute. So you go from Willie Cardo and Liberty Lobby and the group that are saying there's no Holocaust to Bernard Fensterwald, and then Mark Lane representing Willie Cardo, and he in turn is running the institute that would send money to Zurich, not Munich, for Joseph Mengele at this time. Now, a researcher quite about several years ago, a good friend, Glenn Mead, a loyal researcher, did a chart and diagram that I'll have to put on a sheet for you, one of those things that you have to follow, of the connections of the Institute for Historical Review in Torrance, California, to Ernest Zundel, the same person that Canada is going to deport, to Ronald Reagan, to specifically Ronald Reagan. There's many other connections to the World Nazi Organization. And briefly, on the diagram at the far left, if you want to take a pencil as we talk, if you have a sheet of paper, at the left is Los Angeles, and up above is Toronto, where Mr. Zundel lives. Down below is Illinois. In between Toronto and Los Angeles and Illinois is Las Vegas and Phoenix, Arizona, where Joseph Mengele allegedly was for a while. And far right over is Munich, Germany. And then down below, just as you would with South America, is Chile in colonial dignitat. Well, I'll start with the top connections of Canada, because it's hard to visualize this. But Ernest Zundel, the fellow that it will be deported if they get their way in Canada because of the hoax of the Holocaust and rewriting the history for the past 6 years and selling these books, works with a man, Thues Christofferson, like Christ, Christofferson, Thue Christofferson. And they publish the book, The UFO, The Nazi Secret Weapon. Zundel publishes the book of Christofferson. Now, Christofferson works in Los Angeles with that Institute of Historical Review, the No Holocaust, and they do this also up in Toronto. And also working with them up in Canada is Mr. Udo Valendy, U-D-O-V-A-L-E-N-D-Y, Udo Valendy. So that in Toronto, you have Zundel, the publisher from Germany, Mr. Christofferson, working with the Nazis and secret weapons in those books, and Valendi, who works with the Samizdat Publishing and advertises books such as There Are No Holocausts. He works up there. Those three were working and are working in Toronto. Now, in California, as part of the Institute that There Was No Holocaust, is Professor Larson, who works and writes for Liberty Lobby and Willie Cardo, and Mr. Valendi and Mr. Zundel from Toronto and Mr. Christofferson. They're the source of the information coming out of Canada and over into California, the same people that are publishing Mengele's, these particular Germans work in California. Now, in Illinois, where there's a large Nazi headquarter, Mr. Zundel, the same publisher, works with Mr. Christofferson, that same gentleman, and Revillo Oliver. Now, Revillo Oliver was a board of directors member of the John Birch Society until a few years ago at 4th of July in Boston. He made a speech that every Jew in America has to be gassed. And he was a witness with members of the far right wing in trying to say that a communist killed John Kennedy. He's part of the Warren Commission hearings affidavits, a minor witness who came in to say that Rubenstein, the Jew, was involved in the killing of John Kennedy. And Revillo Oliver, with the John Birch Society, was directly responsible for raising funds for the political career of Ronald Reagan. And Oliver worked closely with Zundel and Christofferson from up in Canada, the Germans from Canada, who in turn set up an institute in California. And as I say, Mark Lane is the lawyer. You have to appreciate that, and I'll repeat it 100 times. The directors of the John Birch Society were involved with Ronald Reagan's career, and I've done hours of broadcasting, not enough. I always want to get back more, but some other news takes it over. And Revillo Oliver was part of the Ronald Reagan career going back that far back with the man from Toronto that might or should be deported. They're trying to do it. And with the California Institute that is doing what they call revisionist history with untold millions of dollars to rewrite the history. Now, over in Munich, Germany, Mr. Udo Valendi works in Munich, Germany with the Lieutenant Colonel Hans Ulrich Rudel, R-U-D-E-L. Now, Rudel's name came up at the time of the Aryan Nations, and I was doing some broadcasts on that, and I have to update those Nazis and their computers, but I mentioned that Rudel worked with Otto Skorzeny setting up the Nazis in America through Mr. Erlinger, the German, in Buffalo, New York, and in turn, he worked with South America and Germany with Otto Skorzeny and Rudel. Now, these names are important because Hans Ulrich Rudel and Otto Skorzeny and Fritz Kramer were all together, along with some other Nazis, at the Dachau trials at Oberammergau with Henry Kissinger. As soon as the war was over, Henry Kissinger was working with these Nazis and SS Karl Wolff. Now, the immediate assistant under Rudel, who works with the Nazis in America, not only the revisionists, but the new order that have warned that May the 1st, 1985, the official war would be breaking out in this country, the immediate assistant of Valendi and Rudel was Mr. Valendi from up in Canada and from California, working with Rudel to set up the Nazi groups both in Germany and the Nazi youth groups, which are in the United States and in our prisons, the Aryan Nations that were supported and put in there by Ronald Reagan and Edwin Meese, and their group, Mr. Keith Gilbert, the Aryan Brotherhood, inside the prisons, particularly Arizona and Texas, and Raymond Precuniet from California, now is the director of the Texas prisons, and I could do, you know, many, many hours. I'm getting wonderful articles from there. I never had a chance. Now, they were supported by Christian Democrat Franz Josef Strauss. That's the gentleman who said last week the president maybe should not go to Bitburg, but was at the ceremony written up in the newspapers today with Ronald Reagan and Richard von Weizsäcker, the president of Germany, whose father was Baron von Weizsäcker, a defendant in Nuremberg who played a role in the staging of the Battle of the Bulge. They worked with and were part of the group of Franz Josef Strauss. The source of that is the Bormann Brotherhood. And down in South America is Hans Ulrich Rudel, written up in the aftermath by Ladislas Farrago, who I quoted last week in his book on Patton, working with General Fritz Kramer, and how Patton loved the Nazis and assembled with them after the war, and how they all relished and admired each other. Hans Ulrich Rudel and Martin Bormann, running the Nazi money for the resurgence of the Fourth Reich, with Dr. Joseph Mengele. Now, Glenn gave this to me 3 or 4 years ago, and I've always wanted to put on the air and hadn't done it. I can't think of a more appropriate time if the same Kramer and Kissinger are donating, and the Institute of Historical Review, the money into Mengele's account while he's on the lam now, and the headquarters of World Nazism were founded down there. This is described in the book The Bormann Brotherhood and also in Aftermath. As I say, I'm going slow because I mentioned last week Franz Josef Strauss, and I've talked about Ronald Reagan's links to the Nazis, and because of apropos of the Institute, it was in the news this week, and also the people that I have tried to illustrate were covering the Nazis, co-workers in the Kennedy assassination, and because these people have achieved in 1985 exactly what they wanted, and they are linked to these organizations. Now, to show you how insidious or sickening this whole thing is, there is a large story in the B'nai B'rith Messenger when I was in L.A. this week, April the 12th, 1985. The title is Famed Case at the Crossroads, Milmerstein, M-E-L-M-E-R-S-T-E-I-N, that's his last name, Mr. Milmerstein, is closing in on notorious anti-Semite Willie Cardo. Mr. Milmerstein has a lawsuit against Willie Cardo and the Institute of Historical Review. His name is Mel Milmerstein, M-E-L, Milmerstein. And he's suing them because they offered $50,000 to anybody to prove there was a Holocaust, and he brought in witnesses, and the Institute of Historical Review would not give him his money or acknowledge him. He wrote a book entitled By Bread Alone about his events at Birkenau, Auschwitz, where he lost his father, mother, two sisters, and a brother in a gas chamber. That's five people Milmerstein lost, and they had offered this reviewed. So the case is coming to trial, written up in the B'nai B'rith Messenger, a Jewish newspaper, and they were asking for money for him to have this case because it's costing a lot of money for the legal help, $2,500 a day. They're videotaping various witnesses and so forth. And in July of this year, July 5th, the article says it will soon be July 5th and will never be able to do this again. For centuries, it has been the fate of the Jews to be struck first by their enemies. This is written by Lionel Rolfe, R-O-L-F-E, B'nai B'rith Messenger in Los Angeles. For now, they have a chance to do a severe blow and the opportunity to open this case up. And in big black letters, it said, Cardo is not a small anti-Semite. He's the nation's chief anti-Semite. And, of course, he's linked, as I said, to Toronto and Munich and South America. And he's in California and Illinois and to Ronald Reagan. And the story says that because of the suit, this is a quote, Cardo, who hasn't allowed himself to be photographed in 15 years, was recently the subject of a videotape deposition. He had to submit to 12 hours of deposition. He did so, not a little ludicrously, wearing a fake mustache and dark glasses. And they asked for money from the Jewish community to help Mr. Milmerstein. And they have a Milmerstein Case Trust Fund in care of Michael Marocco, M-A-R-O-K-O, attorney of law in Los Angeles, 6380 Wilshire Boulevard, Suite 1404, Los Angeles, 90048. A full page. Well, I thought that they would be very glad to maybe have the possibility that Fritz Kramer or anybody, their particular person that they are suing, this institute would be carrying money to Joseph Mengele while at a time when these rewards are offered, while they are publishing books and selling cassettes for 6 years, that it never took place, that this would help this Mr. Milmerstein, who lost his dad and mom and brothers and sisters. I thought they would be thrilled to death. So I called Mr. Morocco, the attorney, and I said, I read the story, and I thought, you know, most of these attorneys, if you don't give them money, they don't want to talk to you. But information is money. Information is power. And I spent years on this story. And people have spent years and thousands of dollars tracing these people and being at airports and being at banks. You can't even pay people for the dedication they've had. So I called this attorney representing Mr. Melmerstein, and he was, I suppose, should I say, similar to Mark Lane if you gave him information about the Young Americans for Freedom. I thought he was representing his client. He's doing it according to the B'nai B'rith style. I told him that I had information, that I had done 21 years research, had been on the air 14 years, and that I could help his client, Mr. Melmerstein, and would visit with him. He said, wait 1 minute. Can you hold the line a minute? And it wasn't long distance, and I sat there, and there was like a 4 minute break. He was obviously calling somebody, probably the B'nai B'rith that carried the money over there with Fritz Kramer, okay? And the agent in the offices. And he said, I just had to call from New York. I'll have to call you back. What is your name? Mae Brussel. What's your telephone number? I gave it to him. 2 days passed. That was 3 p.m. I was at that number for 2 days, maybe three. He never called me back. This attorney, Michael Morocco, attorney of law, representing Mel Melmerstein, against the Institute of Historical Review, against Willie Cardo, representing this client, never called me back. That is what I have dealt with through the years. So now I will call Los Angeles Information, try to find Mr. Melmerstein, and find out why his attorney has betrayed him, why they don't want him to use this information, why they don't want to get into that. Now, I got just this past week a brochure from the Institute of Historical Review. Why was I blessed for that? Because I did 2 radio shows in San Bernardino and Riverside by telephone with Cecil Johnson, who's probably one of the most conservative newscasters. If you any remember, what is his name, Pine? Joe Pine. I used to have a button send Joe Pine back to college. He was a real raw Nazi. He had everything but his mustache and Gestapo suit. But I did some very interesting broadcasts with him. And as a result, I got the literature because he has as his guest people who say that there never was a Holocaust. So if you want to write to the Institute for Historical Review, I'll give you their P.O. Box, 1306, Torrance, California, 90505. They have 9 tapes of their last conference, their 6th international conference that there never was a Holocaust. They have a newsletter. You can order individual tapes. And the subjects, there's a Mark Weber talking about Orwell and revisionism, how the Jews are changing the history that there wasn't a Holocaust. Ingrid Weckert has a tape on the Crystal Night of 1938, the biggest anti-German spectaculum, that is suggesting that the Jews did it to get sympathy, that they broke into every home. They have David Baxter talking about Roosevelt and the Anti-Defamation League and the Sedition Trial of 1944. He's one of the few defendants, along with David Baxter and Elizabeth Dilling. He was indicted with 30-odd Americans, and he's probably the one survivor, they said, of these trials, and he's going to tell what a farce it was to suggest that Nazis were criminals during, or traitors during the war. Another tape is by Valentin Moroz, M-O-R-O-Z. This is the artificial famine of 1933 in the Ukraine, how the Soviet Union made 7 million Ukrainians starve to death for starvation. As I mentioned before, Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence in the Eastern Division, I didn't mention it before, I've mentioned it 100 times, wanted to starve in that very area 50 million people and make 40 million slave labor after the war. It's written by a very conservative man, Mr. Kukerich, written in Galen's Spy of the Century. These aren't leftists saying it or even right-wing extremists. How Alan Dulles gave Mr. Gehlen $200 million, and the first thing he was going to do was to starve 50 million. So this is a thing on 7 million Ukrainian and how bad Stalin is. Well, I don't have time to go back to each individual. There are more tapes. Willie Cardo has a tape himself. Carl Otto Braun, on the German policy regarding East Asia from 1933 to 45. And I'm sure as the East Asian director, he worked with Charles Willoughby over in the Pacific. He also was incarcerated at Dachau and got out along with Fritz Kramer and Otto Skorzeny and Sepp Dietrich and the whole gang to begin to work with Willie Cardo and giving lectures that such things didn't exist. Well, I can't. Our hour's up now, so I have to close. I'll continue along these lines and share more with you next week. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel, and take care. Send those articles and clippings, write letters to congressmen, and share this information with other people.